So last time we did a little bit of the timing of Yod, but let's try reading the beginning of Yod and see where we get, okay? So, Dvar Adonai Asher Yael Yoel ben Putiel, Pituel. Right, these are the words of Yoel to the son of Pituel, which, yeah, sure, according to Midrash of Shmuel. Shimuzodas genim vazinu kol yoshve aretz haita zot bimechem imevotechem. Listen, has any of this happened in your days or the days of your fathers? Aleha livnechem. Tell your children about it, and your children tell theirs, and the children tell the next. But this is very, you know, you see it. It's Rahim asked, Yeter agazam achal ha'arbev, yeter arbev achal ha'yalak, yeter ha'yalak achal ha'chasil. Right? So what this type of locust has left, the other locust has destroyed. And what that locust has destroyed, that locust has destroyed. And what that locust has destroyed, that locust has destroyed. I don't know the difference. They translated in the JPS as locust, grub, and hopper.
No.
That helps me nisht at all.
But the cutter has left, the locust has devoured. The locust has left, and grub has devoured.
Yes, I know. I said cutter, grub, cutter, locust, grub. Fine. Hakitsu shikarim uvichu v'heililu kol shedayayin al asis ki nechrat mivchem. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. All you swillers of wine, right? All the wine denied to you. Kigoy al artzam, al artziv, atzum, ve'ein mispar shinav, shine aryeh umedot lavi lo. Right? Because you've been invaded, vast beyond counting, with teeth, like teeth of a lion. Sam gafni l'shamav t'enetzi l'katzafa, chasov chasafa v'shlich hilbinu sirigel. And they've laid the vines waste. They splintered the fig trees. They've stripped off the bark, thrown it away. The runners have turned white. Eli kivtulacha goratzak al baal nurev. Right? Lament like a young woman who lost her husband. Hachreit mincha vanesach mibet Adonai. Avlu ha-kohanim mishart Adonai. Bring, right? Karbanot have stopped from the Beit HaMikdash. The kohanim mourn. Shudad sadeh avla adamah ki shudad dagan ovish tiroshem lal yitzar. And the country is destroyed, ravaged. Right, the ground itself mourns, for the grain has been destroyed. The wine is dried up. The oil is failed. Hovishu ikarim elilu kormim al chitav al zarak yavad katsir sadeh. Farmers are shocked. The people who deal with the vines are crying because of wheat and barley. The crops are lost. Hagefen hovisha vad. Teina umlala rimon gam tapar v'tafuach klatzei sadeh yivoshu kevisho zin mibnei adam. Right, the wine, figs, they've all dried up, the trees, etc. Chagru v'sivdu ha-kohanim elilu mishartim izbeach bo linu v'sakim mishartei elohai ki nimna mibet elohichem in chav anasa. Gird yourself and cry and lament, the kohanim. Those who work and serve at the mizbeach, put sackcloth on. Kach, right, because your karbon are not being held. Well, read the first paragraph and make some comments, right? Kid shoot some. Kiru atzara, isvus kenim, koshviarez, bedonai lechem, zaku al adonai. Right? Make the fast solemn. Call an assembly. Gather everyone together. Right? This becomes the source for Taniot, and we'll get to this in a minute. Aha layom kikaro. I want to just get through the first paragraph and then we can make comments. Aha layom kikaro, vyom adonai, chashod mishadai yavo. Alas, for the day of God is near, right? Yom Hashem is always bad in Tanakh. God is coming to destroy. He'll bring havoc. Halo neged einenu ochel nechrad me'aleinu simcha v'agil. Food is cut off. Our gladness is cut off from the Beit HaMikdash. Avshu frudo tachan migrafotehem. Nashamu atzorin erasum imgoro ki ovish dagan. The seeds have shriveled under the clods. The granaries are desolate. Barns are in ruins. The new grain has failed. Man en chave man navoch ledre v'akarken mireh lohem gam edrei atzon neshamu. The animals are mourning because they don't have food. Eilech Adonai akra ki eish achla neot midbar. So we call to you, because fire has consumed the pastures, and the beasts cry out to you, for their water is drying up, and the fire has consumed the pastures in the wilderness. Okay, this is the first perek of this terrible, terrible, destructive plague. And he's telling them to... Now, what exactly? So, first of all, we have to start. Is this future? And he's telling them, like, mourn in advance and do tshuva? Or is he telling them this has already happened and he's legitimately telling them?
It could have halachic implications in the nature of time.
Right? So, this is a machloket rishonim. It's machloket, rather. Rashi, Ibn Ezra. So, the say, and others say that this is future. This is a call to tshuva. So Rashi, for example, Perek Aleph Pasuk Dalet says, umnitnabe aleihem sheyavo. Right? He's prophesying that this will happen. Right? That what's going on is whatever exactly this plague thing is, he's telling them, I want you to, to do tshuva.
If they don't do tshuva, this plague will happen.
Correct. Right? Ibn Ezra, Pasuk Bet. Shim'u, ze'anavit, nabe al ha'arbet sheyavo. Lashchitu da'aretz. He's prophesying about the arbet that will come to the land. So again, this is part of the classic perushim that we see over and over throughout Tanakh, right, of describing what will happen before it happens, right, to get them to do, right, to do tshuva, right? So this is Rashi, this is Ibn Ezra. Amos Chacham, on the other hand, says no, that this is a different mode. What Yoel is doing is there's already been destruction, right? There's already been destruction. So what is he doing? He's telling them to use the opportunity, right? The opportunity that they were punished, or maybe not even punished. The fact that they were,
that they had this situation.
Correct, meaning that they had this happening, or that they had this happen. What I want you to do is, what I want you to do is, use the opportunity, right? Use the opportunity that you have because of this tragedy as it, to jog, to not jog you, to inspire you to, exactly, right? To, there you go. Kickstart your tshuva. Right, that's a good way of putting it. Right, that's what's going on. That God isn't saying, what?
I just wrote down kickstart before you said kickstart.
Right?
Same word.
Okay. So, yeah. So that is, right, so this is the first major question that you have to ask. Now, what's his raya? Right, what's his raya?
Amos Chacham's raya?
Yeah.
Is it the tenses that's being used?
Very good, the tenses. That's exactly his raya, right? Meaning his raya is very simple, is that he seems to tell them, look.
Look around you.
Right. Look as what has happened. Right. So, of course, you could just say no. It's the imagine. Right. He's imagining it. Right? He's imagining the future. But fundamentally, right, Amos Chacham's raya is because he's talking pandas. He's telling you, look at the destruction. Right. Look at the destruction. And that's why he says it is the past. Now. Rabbi Angel quotes from Reich Harmi, a fascinating insight, okay? Now, this hasn't been published anywhere, right? In his article, he notes that he got it from someone's notes from a shir of Reich Harmi. Reich Harmi says, look, regardless of whether this is in the future or the past, you have to realize that there's something very radical going on in Yoel. Because whether this is telling them, use this opportunity to do tshuva, or is telling them to do tshuva, how this is fundamentally different than every other book, pretty much, if not every book, Legamre, Nikuda, in Tanakh. And that is, no sin is listed. Right? Whether the call is to do tshuva in advance, or the call is to use this as an opportunity to do tshuva, there's no specific sins. I'll read you his quote. That Rabbi Shalom Karmi has observed that the book of Joel is unique in prophetic literature in not identifying any sin as cause for a specific disaster, nor as an impotence for repentance. Following the teachings of Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, Rabbi Karmi explains that there are two types of repentance. Response for sins and introspection as the result of adversity. When tragedy strikes, we must examine ourselves and try to come closer to God, even if we cannot ascertain any specific sins of which we are guilty. So if you remember, I talked about this with Reich Harmi last year in Agadata, right? The Rai Karmi, when I was in his class on suffering and evil, or the meaning of suffering, whatever the final name of the course was, right? He asked the question that when the Gemara says that if something bad happens, you yifash beish v'masav, you should check your actions. Is that because it's expecting a one-to-one correlation of schar v'onesh? Or is it saying, no, you should do that and maybe you won't figure it out, but it's a missed opportunity if you don't at least try to do tshuva. Now, Rav Luchansi noted, right, that this is very much in line with the Rav's general position, right, which we talked about in Eof, which is that what does the Rav think the proper response to suffering is not what, but is not why, but what, right? It's not why did this happen, but what can I do now? It's future-oriented, not past-oriented, right? It's destiny, not fate, right? We talked about this in Eof a lot, right? That's his interpretation of Eof as well. So this theological claim of the Rav isn't just how we, right, that Rai Karmi invokes to explain Yoel is very much the way the Rav talked about it, right? He's not looking at it in that way, right? It's much more all suffering gives you an opportunity to grow, and asking why is less helpful. He, in the footnote here, quotes from Rav Lichtenstein, summarizing the Rav's position as following. I presume we are inclined to acknowledge the justice enhanced by the Rav, enunciated by the Rav, that Judaism is not confronted suffering primarily as a speculative matter. Rather, it is related to it as an existential and experiential reality to be dealt with pragmatically and normatively. Response, not explanation, is focal. Its message, in sum, is don't waste your passional experiences. Utilize them. Exploit them. Let every passional experience become a point of departure for a higher and nobler life. So in that sense, right, what he says is, now, right, Angel pushes this farther. He says, interestingly, from this perspective, if this is right, then Yoel is one of the few Nevi'im that doesn't need to be a Navi to do his job. Right? Because most of the Nevi'im say this is going to happen. Right, meaning according to Amos Chacham, not according to Rashi. But according to Amos Chacham, that this is in the past, one. And two, he's not identifying any specific sin. He's just telling them, use the tragedy as a reason to do tshuva. Yoel doesn't even need to be a Navi. Right, he doesn't need to be a Navi. He's just telling them, tragedy is always an opportunity. Right, so right, Angel says very cleverly, that's why Yoel, we didn't get to it, but this is in Perek Bet of Yoel, that's why Yoel can be the source for Taniot. Right, for the rabbis, because he's not functioning as a prophet. Exactly, he's telling them, look, bad things happen, do tshuva. Right, so now I guess we'll have to end with this for today. But based on this, and this is very clever, right? Basically, right. Angel's general thesis summed up in the title is the Book of Joel anticipating a post prophetic age. The Joel is a navi, but his nevuot are setting you up for a non-prophetic age. And he says this is particularly meaningful if you take the later dating. Right? If you think that Yoel is at the end of the first Beit HaMikdash or the second Beit HaMikdash, right? Or at some Midrashim, he's with Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So many of the Mefarshim assume that it's not just that they were the last Nevi'im, but more importantly, that Abarbanel and Malbim and others assume that the last Nevi'im knew they were the last Nevi'im, right? Because that's why at Malachi, what does it say? Right? Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah Moshe. Why is he saying things like that? So according to many of the Mefarshim, it's because he knew that the age of prophecy was ending and that he was among the last prophets. So if that's the case, for Yoel, he says that Yoel may be a Navi, but he's anticipating the cessation of prophecy and teaching people how to respond to crisis when there is no prophecy. That's how he reads this. And this is supported, he thinks, by Yoel's increased appeal to earlier texts. Right? And he notes that of the 73 psukim in Yoel, 25 of them are stylistically similar to previous books on Tanakh, which again, he takes as proof that Yoel is, let's say, a proto-rabbi. Right, that he's starting the process towards the rabbinic world, right, which is focused much more on, right, understanding Torah right, and getting our lessons from without knowing what God thinks, right? But from investigating the Torah and trying to understand what God wants us, God wants from us in Torah. Okay, I have to give a got it. So let's stop there for now. We still have some more points to make on Perek Aleph, but this is, right, the first thesis that I thought was very powerful, right? Angel building an economy in the Rav is the idea that Yoel, especially one of the last prophets, and especially if Amos Chacham is right, that this is post facto, right? Especially because he doesn't quote a sin, right? And that he goes through all these psukim and he's basically giving a shir or a musher shmuz based on things that other people could have accessed, where he's saying he's a Navi who's setting up the post-Navi world, the post-prophetic world. Okay, so that's really Angel's thesis, but I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thesis. We have to get more into what exactly these locusts are, and we have to still see Perek Bet, which continues this theme, because Perek Aleph and Bet are about this, but we'll have to continue next time, okay?